Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined as always by a guy who better be getting out of here. Gary Butterfield.
Cut it out.
What?
Does Dave Coulier have cancer now? I think I remember seeing that.
That seems Dave Uncoulier.
Yeah.
Not that cool. Bad move.
Bad career move.
I don't know if that's true. Does he?
Dave Coulier diagnosed with second cancer in 7 months.
Oof. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, man. Sorry to take us into this super fun, very enjoyable area for the first minutes of a guppy. The trip to Bummertown has been quick.
What are your top 30 Dave Coulier memories?
I really thought you were going to ask me my top 30 cancers, man. It was going to be a difficult one.
No. Well, this one's easy. What are your top 30 Dave Coulier memories?
They're all from his Nickelodeon show, which I think was just called Cut It Out.
Okay.
Where he's doing like... He said Out of Control. Out of Control was his show. Okay. Created by Bob Hughes. No relation. Feature sketches with recurring themes by Duck's Breath Mystery Theater. Where do I know them from? They did like... Oh, Dr. Science! Yeah! I'm off in the weeds, Gary. I'm having fun. Yeah, it's probably when he asked if I had any wood.
I like the wood bit. And also just a commanding run on America's Funniest People. Like, when I think of that show, I associate it with Dave Coulier.
I don't think I've seen one episode with him. I only know America's Funniest Home Videos, and I only know Saget.
Okay. Yeah, no, he did the spinoff. Yeah, he did. Okay, thank God I was not messing that up. I thought it was him. Yeah.
I got really in the weeds here because apparently this show, this Out of Control show, featured stuff from Duck's Breath Mystery Theater, which was a comedy troupe who I know because they used to do, one of their main guys used to do a show called Ask Dr. Science. Which I had the book of that was just absurd answers to science questions that I got a lot of fun out of on the very early internet, like before pre-search engine internet.
These guys are older than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Based on that, you know why though? Is because I was thinking Nickelodeon, these guys must have been young because Nickelodeon just happened. But well, in fact, these guys were Nickelodeon age in the 90s, and it's been 30 years.
Yeah, Nickelodeon started running in the 1980s, so it's been 40
years.
Yeah,
that's what's throwing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sucks. I got confused. I confused my childhood with recency again. You know?
But yeah, so here anyway. So
a gigantic harmonica. Have you seen this gigantic harmonica pic?
No, from...
From Duck's Breath Mystery Theater. It's really funny. It's four of the guys holding a really big harmonica, which is fine. But then there's another one with an also real big but smaller harmonica just playing one. I like that quite a bit. There's one giant harmonica and then another giant harmonica of a slightly smaller scale.
Yeah, I typed in Duck's Breath giant harmonica. Should I watch this video that's from Lumira _ playing harmonica for Ducks, a unique performance?
As long as it's unique. The Ducks can tell if you're bringing prepared material.
Maybe if I just type in Duck's Breath Mystery Theater and not... Hey, there's that big harmonica! Yeah, okay.
It's pretty fun. Yeah. I just like that there's the smaller but still overwhelmingly huge harmonica.
Yeah.
That's funny to me. Good joke.
Yeah.
Was it good? Were they good?
I only did the Ask Dr. Science stuff, and it made me laugh as a nerdy kid. So,
okay,
who was just basically, so no. I spent my whole middle school on chasing the high of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
And it kind of scratched the itch. It wasn't quite there, but.
It's pretty hard to get that itch. Like, no amount of Dirks Gently will take care of that, I found.
It's true, because that's got Doctor Who stink all over it.
Yes.
Because it's
and it, yeah, just not as good. And then
see also the fourth and fifth Hitchhiker's books, which also are not good.
Yeah, Hitchhiker's Guidebooks, 60% good. Since I like that kind of stuff, my aunt who got me into books and stuff kept trying to give me like parody books. That's how I got into the Star Wrecked books.
Sure, yeah.
Which were parodies of Star Trek. I found a whole collection of those at a thrift store and bought them recently, and I'm going to read them to travel through time and have that like, oh, I read this when I was like 13 feeling. That's like only certain sentences are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. And I bet you it's a real laugh riot.
There's a part of me that would like to go back and read Barry Trotter and the Unauthorized Parody.
Yeah.
Do it. Which, if memory serves, I think I read the second one of those. I did not read the first one. The second one, they are adults. It's a Harry Potter parody, in case that wasn't clear from the incredibly clever wordplay in the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the main plot in that is it's revealed that any time a wizard uses magic to make something appear, they're just stealing it from a muggle.
That's fun.
And now the muggles are like want to kill everybody.
That's real fun. Yeah. Sometimes stuff like that holds up. I read, I'm going to say recently, and this means 10 years ago, because fuck. But I reread Lord of the Rings, which was a parody I read as a kid. And it was real funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually kind of like, I mean, not real funny. There were some laughs to be had, though, that I had as a teen that I re-had. It wasn't a slog. Which I guess is not quite saying the same thing as real funny. It wasn't a slog, though, which is what I was expecting.
What's the funniest book you've ever read?
I think it is the Norm Macdonald, I think it's called Based on a True Story.
Okay.
His book, his semi-fictional, semi-autobiographical book that gets more and more fictional as it goes. That made me laugh a lot.
Does he mention the time he was mean to me on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
No, that was barely a blip. For him, it was Tuesday. Like,
he did not. I have multiple, like, I wrote some newswire where I talked shit about him for being kind of an old, out-of-touch comedian, which he was.
Yeah.
And
he died as such. It was sad.
Yeah. And he responded to it. I wish I had saved it, because it was, like, an extremely wordy joke accusing mm-hmm. me of being, like a man who changes his opinions like he changes a necktie or something like that. It was like he did it in old-timey style, and it was great. But then also he deleted it, which is also great.
Yeah. And so now you're stuck with that phantom limb feeling.
But I'm not stuck with 8 million Norm Macdonald fans refinding it and replying more. So
that is true. That would curse you. You'd have to leave Twitter.
Yeah, what a terrible thing. What a horrible dream.
Yeah. That would be awful. Yeah, no, he's it's sad that guy died as kind of a shit. Like, he's, you know, really good at comedy, not good opinions on a lot of other stuff.
Almost all old comedians are.
Yes.
Spending your life being told you are a bold iconoclast is not good for the human brain.
No, I mean, being told you're any kind of goodness is bad for the human brain, I think. But, like, specifically that. And, like, it's one of those things where I kind of believe there's not any hate in his heart. He's just being an old shit.
Yeah.
You know, not to let him off the hook too much for saying some dumb stuff, but I do kind of believe he's just a washed old guy, you know?
Yeah.
The happens sometimes. I don't want to cancel Norm Macdonald. I still think he's real funny.
I mean, I can't make
I'm biased. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wouldn't, if you could, would you?
Cancel him?
Make me do it.
Oh, make you? Yes, absolutely. If I, as soon as I get my background checks all done mm-hmm. for gun ownership, we're going to be having a lot of these conversations.
Trying to think of how I do it. I mean, the obvious answer would be lying and saying that, like, he dropped trow in front of me or something, but the timelines wouldn't line up, you know?
Yeah. No, man. But that is left as an exercise for the reader.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could write in and say how you would cancel, how you'd have me cancel him, if you like.
Yeah, you don't have social media, and you stopped doing your newsletter. So you'd have to do it on WAF.
I stopped it. I did it as an email, but I stopped sending it out. I stopped doing it on email, though. It's still a blog. I updated it from time to time. I got some things I planned to do it, but it was a pain to do as a newsletter. I might still do it. I don't know, but it's a pain. It's irritating.
Oh, no, I've ended up in a real conversation.
Yeah. To be fair, we haven't recorded in a while, and then we came back with two. Yeah. How was your winter break?
Oh, it was good. I went back to Indiana and sat on my mom's couch, and we watched bad mystery shows.
Did you have any good nostalgic restaurants from being back home?
So we didn't go to any besides like Culver's.
Okay. Ooh.
Got some cheese curds and some ice cream and stuff, but that's not actually nostalgic because there wasn't a Culver's around my house until after I left Indiana. We did not go to my childhood Italian restaurant, which has changed hands like three times this time. We went to instead all the finest dining locations of Terre Haute, Indiana.
What are the top 30 dining locations in Terre Haute?
So number one with a bullet is Bar Bosco, where we ended up for three people dropping like $180 on some fine. Fine as in not good, but fine.
Okay, not fine as in fine dining.
Italian food. And there's the Terminal, which used to be a dive bar that I drank at because it was a bus terminal. Most notable thing about the Terminal has a mural on the side of notable Terre Haute personalities that features both Larry Bird and my high school English teacher.
Oh, who's your high school English teacher?
Mrs. Utley. Now, Dr. Utley.
Why is she notable?
Because she's great. She was really cool. Oh. Still alive, I think.
I would like it if the Terminal on their wall had the entire plot of the movie, The Terminal.
Could you describe that to me really fast, Gary, just to keep me up to date?
The Terminal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Hanks is a foreign man who lives in an airport.
Why?
I think he has no country. I think he's not allowed back into his home country, but isn't allowed to leave.
Why?
I don't know. I don't even know if they say in the movie.
Why?
Because it wasn't important. It was just he wanted to have him have fun in an airport. It's Tom Hanks. He's very charming. More charming than his son, Colin Hanks. And more handsome as well.
Why?
Probably just genetics. Like, his parents were more attractive together than Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks' wife are.
You don't know Tom Hanks' Rita Wilson.
Yeah. And Tom Hanks' parents are probably more attractive.
Rita Wilson's a beautiful woman, and Tom Hanks is a good-looking man.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I don't think Colin is Rita's son. I think that's Tom Hanks' first wife.
Yeah, who shall not be spoken of.
Never, not Hollywood royalty.
Yeah, that attic goblin who created a Colin Hanks, we will not speak of.
Yeah, if you want to hear her perspective, read Wide Sargasso Sea.
Yeah. The pocket.
Yeah, pocket. Pocket, you making some noises?
He got into some old wrapping paper.
Was Pocket excited that I decided to turn Tom Hanks' first wife, Samantha Lewis, according to Wikipedia, into a Bertha from Jane Eyre figure?
Yeah, I think that's why he got into the wrapping paper.
That makes sense.
He's you got to stop doing it because otherwise he's just going to keep making noise.
Yeah, kitty cats are good. I got two of them.
Yeah, so it's a Terre Haute. Little Christmas trip. We're recording this after the celebration of the birth of Christ.
Yeah. Oh, Gary. So I thought for Christmas presents this year, we could just get each other telling each other what our favorite thing the other person made this year was. Unfortunately, a list of Harry Potter parodies in front of my eyes right now, and they're distracting me from the bit. Do you want to hear some?
The parodies, yeah.
Yeah. Harry Rotter and the Goblet of Spunk, Larry Bottom and the Sorcerer's Scone, the Barry Trotter series, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Cheesecakes, Harry Pothead and the Marijuana Stone, Harry Potter and the Underwear of Justice, Henry Potter and the Pet Rock, Perry Hotter and the Seamy Side of Magic, Henry Shepherd and the Rock of Ages, Howie Monroe and the Doghouse of Doom, Barry Rotter and the Golf Lessons, Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. I've actually read that one. It's from the fucking cognitive science rationality guys. Harry Potter and the Secret Chamber Pot of Azerbaijan. Oh, here we go. Trans Wizard Harriet Porber and the Bad Boy Parasorphalus by Chuck Tingle.
There we go. I actively flinched. I kind of checked out at Harry Stoner and the Goblet of Marijuana.
That was also the one I checked out on. You could hear it in my voice.
Yeah, because, Goblet of Marijuana, I was like, you have to try harder.
No, it's the Marijuana Stone.
Oh, the marijuana stone. Yeah, that sucks.
Harry Pothead.
Goblet of marijuana would be even better. Yeah. Harry Pothead and the marijuana stone. That sucks.
A marijuana-laden book-length parody released in the United States and Canada in October 2007 by Cannabis Culture magazine.
The story, I expect so much more from them.
The story parallels the original books, but instead of a wizard, Harry Pothead is a weedster and attends... Gary, do you want to guess what the magic school is called?
It's not going to be Fogwarts.
No.
It's
worse. It's less creative than that.
Yeah, it's got to be Hashwarts?
Hempwards.
Hempwards.
Hempwards, okay. School of Herbcraft and Weedery. Characters include Hempwards Master Head, Always Durand the Dope. Always Doing the Dope. Professors Morava McGonagall. That one I like.
Yeah, McGonagall. I also like the idea of taking a McGonagall visit.
Yeah, and of course, Vacuous Vape.
Good Lord.
The book received extensive media coverage in Canada upon its release.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like a certain percentage of media has to be about Canadian media in Canada. It gets that leg up like it does with music. The thing that made the Tragically Hip big. Various
people named Gord that they'll tell you are musical geniuses.
Yeah, would never have been famous.
Yeah.
Did you know Bryan Adams got in a lot of trouble for criticizing that, like in Canada?
No.
He's a Canadian artist, and he was like, oh, this thing sucks. It's holding us back. It's making us mediocre. And like he got blacklisted from a bunch of Canadian radio stations for that.
That's great.
They're very serious about it.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, fascinating. So, like, I never respect, like, anything to resist American hegemony, but, like, you know.
What were we talking about, Gary? It's Monster Blitz.
Oh, you were talking about Christmas gifts.
Oh, yeah, Christmas gifts. So, I think that in 2025, the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodline season of Real Lich Hours was some of you and Kay's finest work.
Thank you.
And I know you do a lot of like the back end stuff on that, and you did a fantastic job.
Of the back end on it.
Fucking hell, dude! I'm trying to be nice.
I don't upload it and shit. That's Gwen work, but yeah.
Fucking hell, dude! That's Gwen work.
Hi, Gwen.
And then yours for me.
There's so many.
Oh.
I liked reading your two pieces about baby steps on EV Club. I thought they were both insightful. And I had a moment before I played it and saw it with you, I had a moment of skepticism of thinking, this is something that is just Will coded, and I'm not going to understand what he means by this. It's going to be fine, but it's going to be like an Undertale thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I played it, I was like, no, Will's right. That's exactly what this is. This seems sick, and I'd like to play it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it made me feel closer to you.
Uh-huh.
Made me feel like I was like, oh, I understand you a little bit better. And this is an area of overlap. Like, you've actually perfectly explained the appeal of this in a way that, like, I was bringing some of my own projections to that were kind of disqualifying it. Largely based on Bennett Foddy's past work. But Bennett Foddy's past work.
You did.
Bennett fought it.
Bennett fought it.
Yep. No nude.
We got to stop making Daft Punk lyrics.
Yeah. Well, they don't even do it at this point. They're just like, oh, let's get Pharrell to sing Get Lucky. We're not even going to fucking make lyrics.
Let's just get,
I don't know if that's Pharrell.
Pharrell was Get Lucky.
Okay. Yeah. Good pull, Gary.
Great job, buddy. Fuck that other thing I said that I liked that you did. Now it's that pull.
It was a good pull. And it is still, is that my early 2026 Christmas present? Or are you taking away the old one?
Oh, wait, yeah. Boy, this episode is coming out in 2026. I guess that's your best thing you've done in 2026 so far.
Thank you. Yeah, probably. Hey, I got brand news for 2026. Brand new news for that. Guess who's back?
Shady?
My Boyle.
Oh, that's nice. Where is it at, Anya? Is it a waist boil?
Oh, I wish. It's a butt cheek boil on the inner butt cheek.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's the exact same spot, which means I had to go to a doctor and, like, figure out whether I have some kind of deep staph infection or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
Yeah, as someone talking to you right now with a gum abscess, the body is horror.
Yeah, you and I are bacteria bros right now.
And that's why I got the gum abscess, so that we could be closer together. Gary, yeah. It is Monster Blitz, where we are committed to talking about every single monster in the video game The Binding of Isaac. And in depth and intelligently. This is
largely to get these out of the way so we can get to rooms.
I can't wait to talk through every single room configuration of the game. I have some bones to pick.
I do as well. It's not for most of them. Most of them I don't have a whole lot to say about. So, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of free time. But the ones I have something to say about, I have a lot to say about.
Yeah, a lot of free swim, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, nothing wrong with free swim. Study hall. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I always got bored in study hall. That's when I would try to memorize books.
I miss study hall a whole lot. I used to read the second edition D&D book a lot. Study hall.
Yeah.
Make characters and shit.
You were studying to be the grown-up you would unfortunately turn out to be.
It's true. I think that's study hall is where you're born.
And ideally where you die.
You could do worse. I was thinking about something the other day.
Yeah.
This related to study hall. Is there a reason why children's school desks are the least comfortable thing that anybody could imagine? Like, why we just decide? I know it's like cost and everything, but mm-hmm. Doesn't it kind of suck that we just decided to make the least comfortable desks in the world?
To
stick our kids in them for 4 years?
How are they in your mind uncomfortable? I want to be here with you, but I want to make sure I understand.
Padding, ergonomics, how they encourage slouching over because of how far away the desk is. So if you want to do any work, you have to, you know, question mark your spine. Like, I feel like they actively encourage bad posture.
So are we talking about like elementary school desks or there's a lot of desks? You know,
I mean, I guess there wasn't that big of a difference between my desks growing up.
See,
I don't know all desks in all schools.
So for elementary school, my desk, the desk we had in every grade were kind of flat tops that had drawers, and your desk was your desk because you weren't moving around to different classes and stuff.
Okay.
In middle school, they were those ones where the chair was attached to, had a desk surface.
The one piece.
Coming off. Yeah. That's where I left all my treasure.
Yeah. Inside the desk.
No, there was no inside to this desk.
Okay. Yeah. I think that I had the one piece with a lid that popped up to store stuff. I never had a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had basically that, but two pieces without the lid.
If children are like comfortable, they will sleep.
We slept anyway, though. Like,
if children are comfortable, they will sleep and have unproductive dreams.
That's probably true. I was doing a lot of math in my dream.
Yeah.
That's probably why I'm so bad at math.
Yeah, because your hypnagogic learning wasn't... I think you had enough padding as a child that you were getting some comfort, and it was fucking up the subliminals.
A lot of times when I do math, I'm like, you have a 4, but like it's also not a 4. You know?
Yeah,
because I dreamed towards my math.
You were there, and like my graduate advisor... Man, I had a fucking graduate school dream, even though the woman's dead now, and that feels unfair.
That's why you had the dream. She's back in dream form. It's like Freddy.
Oh,
graduate school Freddy.
Oh, graduate school Freddy. That's a fun idea. He just looks
unhappy. I like that idea a lot.
He looks really unhappy.
Yeah. I was like, I can't believe I had to stay up all night and still do my night job.
I was like, I didn't really have a plan for my future, so I just did the thing that I guess you're supposed to want to do. And now here I am living a life I don't recognize.
I have so much debt and I have to haunt so many children to get money back for it.
To be fair, if you're in a science graduate school, you're being paid to be there.
Yeah. But I don't think Freddy is a science guy.
Oh, you think he's humanities?
Yeah, he has to know what scares people and stuff. Like, he's a student of psychology.
Okay.
He's 100% a humanities guy. He's magic. Of course he's humanities. What can you say about the Begotten?
I love this
That hasn't
guy.
Already been said about the Homunculus.
I mean, I don't know. I like looking at this guy. He's got his weird little eyes, man.
I like this guy quite a bit.
Yeah.
Very similar to Homunculus, but better looking.
Yeah, mechanically, they act quite a bit alike. These guys start popping up in the depths and below. They are little horned dudes with cat's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't spawn red creep, but when they detach, they start firing bloodshots in all directions, turn the room dark, and become invisible.
Yes. And they have no arms.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's like the chained prisoner from Dark Souls.
Yeah, I guess so. Speak on that.
He's also chained, has no arms, chases you.
Ooh, yeah, chasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys have like, it's interesting that these guys have like environment. I'll tell you, I have not, with both this guy and Homunculus, I kill these guys aggressively, so I almost never see the thing that happens when they break free. That is a pretty good threat to use against the player. To like, obscuring visibility is one of the nastiest things Isaac can do to you.
Yeah. And there's a couple of classes of monsters that do it, but not very many.
Yeah.
That do it. And it's one of those things that if you know they're there and you're not dealing with anything else, you can kind of, it's like where the predictability of the movement in Isaac comes in really handy. You know, I know how these guys are going to move. I know how they're going to bounce from my tears and shit. So I can do it. But if you're doing anything else at the same time, it's really difficult.
Yeah. And notably, these guys can be spawned as adds by Sister V's, which is already a pretty frenetic boss fight.
A lot of movement.
Yeah.
Like, Sister Viz is not hard, but you do have to mind where you're standing. Like, constantly. You have to constantly move.
You've got
to
mind that gap.
So, having these guys, you do have to mind the gap. That's, like, normal island. I played an Isaac run last night, because we're getting ready to record the Isaac Wolf.
Yeah, we are going to. That is very daunting to think about, that we are going to have a three-hour conversation in which we can't make any jokes.
I'm not going to have a three-hour conversation. I'm going to have like an hour and a half to two-hour conversation. But if you want to keep it going, you can.
Yeah, and you'll still send it off as Gwen work?
Probably. I'll let Gwen edit in me going, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got to have a good backlog of that by now.
I imagine so. If not, I can send her a big booster pack.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. If you want to get a little booster pack of me going, yeah, sure. All right. Let me know. And if that's something the patrons want, I'll make you one.
Or just listen to any episode of WAF where Gary's partially checked out.
Yeah, anything that I'm not that interested in.
Yeah.
Like the back half of a really narrative-heavy game, usually. Or after we've gotten to explain, after we've explained the basics of like a base builder or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're into the mission by mission. Boy, that's the fucking death. Yeah, yeah.
So you were doing you were playing. I also played some Isaac last night for the exact same reason that I want to feel like fresh on it.
I lost.
I also lost.
Yeah, it was a bad seed to be fair, and I got a really bad roll. I got to the chest, and got a room with three bloats. That's hard. That's a tough roll.
That's a nasty room, man.
If you're not like super overpowered, like that's very difficult. And I was not super overpowered.
So I had one run that I actually picked up from like 2 weeks ago, that I had abandoned because I had died with 9 lives against Mega Satan.
Oh, yep.
But I picked that run back up. I was like, I don't need to give up. I had Guppy's Paw. I can turn this one heart container into 3 hits.
And 3 hits is reasonable for Mega Satan.
Yeah, I did not have a particularly high DPS going into that fight, but I did, after like 6 lives, pull it off.
Yeah. It's hard on that. It's not trivial to get 3 hits, but...
And then from there, I came within about 2 hits. Like, I came within maybe like 5 more seconds of solid play of beating Delirium with that same run.
Nice.
Did not quite get it, though.
I have such a hard time picking up a run if I've left it. It's very difficult for me to do. I don't have the continuity. Like, I'm no longer that person.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very hard for me to do.
This one was kind of fun. It was an Eden run where I had Tech 2 and Holy Shots.
Oh, nice.
So the Holy was triggering like pretty much constantly while I zapped with the laser.
That's real good.
I just didn't get any like damage ups, so it was slow going with the laser.
This is something we'll talk about in the episode, and something that we talked about like 10 years ago or whatever on the show. One of the reasons why I switched to greed mode streaks is I get bummed out once you get to the womb area of that game and you stop getting new stuff for the most part.
Absolutely.
Like it just becomes less fun. Like it's like a third or a quarter of the run and it just becomes less fun. Like up until that point, I was having a real good time. I was like, oh, I should do this more than instead of greed mode. But the thing about greed mode, it's all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
This was just like, and I saw a bunch of new rooms I hadn't seen. Some items behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
They don't support greed mode. The items don't update the same way.
Yeah.
Which is funny. But I was just like, yeah, this, I'm kind of bored now. I'm just trying to get through these rooms.
And it's interesting that the game itself acknowledges that by them adding in the chest and the dark chest.
Yes.
Or the dark room.
They want you to work for it.
But they are like, boy, we have not been giving the player new power for a couple of floors. Let's boost that back up.
I don't think it would be on balance if they just had treasure rooms in the womb.
Like
two more random items.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? It'll just make it more spicy to explore.
Yeah, they don't want you to explore the womb in full.
No, I know, but like,
that is what it feels like, is that design space, they want you to be rushing for the boss at this point.
And it's part of what makes map items useful.
Yeah.
Like I always prioritize the compass just so I can rush the boss. But like maybe the womb floors should be a little shorter or something. I don't know, but like hitting a dead end on a womb floor doesn't feel like, oh, cool, I now have to endure this. This is a cool challenge. It just feels like, fuck.
Gary,
just get me to the boss.
I've really been trying to be less myself this year. Like, that's like my whole resolution. Like, earlier when you struggled with the word hegemony, I let it go. You did just say compass.
You know that bringing it up now is not letting it go.
Is it?
You've undone that work.
You did just say compass.
So?
I don't know, man.
I think you're projecting. Sometimes you project an embarrassment onto me. Like things that don't matter that you would be embarrassed about, you assume I'm going to be embarrassed about, but I'm more well-adjusted. So I'm not embarrassed about shit like that.
I guess I don't. I just feel in that moment, I'm sitting there with the listener and they're like tugging on my sleeve saying, will you let him say compass?
I think you might be projecting onto the listener. I bet you they didn't even notice.
Let us know.
Yeah. let us know.
Or fucking not.
Yeah. Do you have the sickness or not? Let us know.
But yeah, the Begotten. So yeah. Sorry, I'm cycling.
One thing I will say about the Begotten is this name has nothing to do with what it is. The Begotten could be any fucking monster in this game.
That is true.
It just sounds like generic Isaac shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Like, Homunculus kind of made sense because it's like a body. Yeah. It's just kind of like a body that's been like smooshed together from stuff. But.
And kind of a shitty Isaac. Like, almost like a fucked up Isaac. The Begotten could just be any boss. Could be called this.
Yeah. There's really nothing about this that feels like it's begetting or is in danger of being begat.
Yeah. What does Begotten mean other than the Bible?
I think it means...
It's just that, right?
It's just... Doesn't it just mean birthed?
Yeah. Begotten, like, I think so.
Begotten definition. Bring a child into existence by the process of reproduction.
Okay. So this was born, so it has parents.
Oh.
We should be nicer to it.
That's your criteria for what we should be nice to?
Yeah. I'm a softie.
Oh, that's why I'm not nice to you.
It's true. I have no parents as an orphan. Me and Pocket, twin orphans, found each other like Batman and Robin.
Dwarfins.
Yeah. Were you referencing the All-Star Batman line where they do that?
No, not on purpose. What?
Oh, There's a part in like All-Star Batman, I think, where Batman and Robin both, I don't know. It's just like, it was like a Wham panel thing that shows up in like TV Tropes.
I didn't bring up Batman and Robin, man.
Okay.
So it's unlikely I was making, were you referencing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I think we do need to turn that question around. You know, you turn that laser focus back on yourself, Dr. Lecter.
Yeah, I just thought perhaps you picked up on the reference because I know that you're also, you know, Batman.
Because I said Dwarfins?
Oh, I didn't hear you say Dwarfins. I thought you said Orphans.
No, I said Dwarfins.
Your pronunciation wasn't very good, but I let it go because I figured the audience didn't notice it.
Oh, lazy. So
it just sounded like Orphan.
So what happened there was you said it like we were talking about Orphans. You brought up Batman and Robin. I made a stupid joke, and then you asked me if I was making a Batman and Robin reference.
I had assumed, quite foolishly, that you were going along with my bit.
I was kind of.
Not really. You were kind of substituting my bit for a bit that you liked more.
No, I was just, it's just intrusive thoughts, man. It was just two orphans. I could say that as Dwarfins. Which I don't think negates your bit. It doesn't stop you from continuing to talk about Batman and Robin, who are, in fact, two orphans. I acknowledge that.
I guess you could also call them Dwarfins. Now that I know, I think I also maybe thought Dwarfins was referring to something other than two orphans.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Dwarfins was something I didn't know.
The way you could say twinses for a particular twinses. Song.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Two twinses.
Little Miss can't be
twins. That's four twinses. Yeah. Two twinses is actually four princes.
Are we talking about Twinses the driving cat?
We're talking about Twinses, the best boss in Dark Souls 3.
Oh, yeah. It is a good boss.
I think it's the best one in the base game. Oh, boy. Twinses, I was watching on YouTube. Some modern Saturday Night Live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and Liv were talking about how we both like the commercials and that.
Yeah, you love so a pre-taped content, business. I heard.
I do. Like, I can't remember what show that was. It was right at a really old Guppy where he talked about that. But put on some. And some of it, pretty funny. I hate giving SNL their flowers, but, like, there's some good jokes in there.
Colon blow.
Irritating premises that went on too long, but some good jokes.
Colon blow.
Colon blow's great. All the 90s ones are good. Big Red, Mom Jeans, Colin Blow.
What's your one that you nobody else likes but you? What's your SNL sketch that nobody likes but you?
That's good. I mean, I feel like, and this is, I know it's not nobody else likes it. And it's something I've already said, but I do feel like whenever I bring up Big Red, not everybody likes that as much.
Yeah.
That is really direct and stupid in a way that I think that is really Gary coded.
Yeah.
It's like Tim and Eric. It's like a Tim and Eric product.
It is.
But, you know, 20 years before Tim and Eric.
Whereas for me, it's always going to be tales of fraud and malfeasance and railroad hiring practices.
That's also really good, though. That is funny.
Which ends on one of the dumbest jokes I think they've ever done, which is the guy is, because it's a Dragnet parody, it ends with the guy being given the maximum sentence for fraud and malfeasance and railroad hiring practices, which is no sentence.
Yeah. I hate to say the minimum sentence. You get money.
Yeah.
In exchange for that, we reward you. You get reverse jail time. Reverse jail time be like you put somebody else in jail, or does your life just get longer?
Or you get like a night, you get to go to a nice place, you get to go to like Club
Med. Resort. Yeah, cruises are reverse jails now. The oceans are battlefields, and cruises are reverse jails.
Unless you're working there.
Yeah, or you get stranded on like on the poop cruise, or the Joko cruise. Being stranded on that, can you imagine?
Yeah, Gary, do you want to role play that for a minute?
Sure. Who do I get to be?
You're you.
Okay.
All right. Hey man, you want to come to my show? We're doing improvised tabletop games where each of us is a detective trying to solve the same murder, but it's all improv.
I actually have an appointment to go to a different show that's the same premise.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah. They're both mandatory. We're actually gonna put this headset on your head so that you can watch both at the same time.
Okay. So mandatory. I'm real hungry and thirsty. We haven't had water in a while. Is there gonna be water there?
No, not really. Oh. Not so you'd notice.
Yeah. Are any of the celebrities I like there? Is like Maria Bamford there, or They Might Be Giants or anything? Are they gonna be part of it?
They dropped out right at the last minute.
I think they got airlifted off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was those helicopters.
Yeah. No room for me, though.
No.
No room for you, Jordan Morris.
Come on, man. Come on. Don't do that.
Since you're not important, I figured they kept you here.
Okay. All right. You know. We don't need to. We don't need to name specific names. It's all good.
That's okay. I forgot on the cruise. I'm not supposed to use your name.
Yeah. No names on the Joko cruise.
Yeah. Well, now that all the names have left. I guess I'll go as mandatory.
Yeah, and we have we took out the edges of the boat, so now you can't jump off because we were having trouble with that.
Is there going to be audience participation?
It's all audience participation. Yeah, of course.
Oh God. All right, let me use the bathroom real quick.
We've taken out the bathrooms. Too many people were drowning themselves in the toilet.
Let me not piss in front of you.
I'm fine with it.
Please?
I'm fine with it.
With me not pissing in front of you or pissing in front of you?
Proceed.
Okay. In this scenario, I piss in this character's eye and then run around the corner and bang my head against the wall until I pass out.
God damn it. We took out the edges of the boat with the ocean so people can't jump out of that, but we forgot to take out the walls.
Yeah, take out all the walls, floors.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be difficult if you have a boat with no floor, but it's the only way to get people to go to this improv show.
The human urge to destroy itself in the face of misery is just too strong to defeat.
Yeah. And dehydration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a rough scenario. I put myself in the mindset of that character, and it was difficult.
You were doing a lot of, like, incredible, like, emotional work. Like, emotional space work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think in that scenario, if you're in that, like, if something's really bad like that, and someone tries to keep up morale, I understand in, like, fiction that's good. I cannot imagine being receptive to that.
Sure. People trying to keep up morale that won't go up is a bad feeling.
Yeah, really bad feeling.
It starts to feel pretty cultish.
Like, oh, let's just sing a song or some shit. Yeah, like, ugh, fuck, like, no. Yeah, give me
let's all brand that. Janice.
Yes, that would keep up morale. Good branding.
Yeah, we did, while we were sitting around at my mom's house watching mystery shows, we did end up talking about Nexium for a while, and that's always fun to remember.
Yeah, I find, yo, is there anything they can't do? Solve my acid reflux? Be a cult? Nexium is fascinating. I love it. Good talk.
I like that you associated that with your acid reflux medicine.
Yeah. I don't use Nexium anymore, but there is one called Nexium.
Oh, cool.
What was I going to say? Mysteries. Oh, you have any interest in a cruise? You ever been on a cruise?
Yeah, man, I do have an interest in a cruise. Thank you for asking. I've never been on one.
Okay.
All I now want from vacations, as revealed by the one I just took, is... Yes, Gary.
Real quick, why did you say that so sarcastically?
Which one?
When you said, yes, I have some interest in a cruise. Yeah, man. Thanks for asking.
It wasn't sarcastic, and you just heard it that way, and the problem's in your head.
What
it might have been is my mild contempt for myself for saying yes to the question.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think you're so used to hearing contempt from me to you that contempt from me to me might sound like that.
That is almost certainly the Rosetta Stone that unlocks so many things.
Yeah. I'm here to help. I am at the point of my life where I work enough that on vacation, all I want to do is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And a cruise seems like a decent way to manage that.
It's like enforced nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought I would find it appealing, because a lot of times when people go, like, I had a bunch of coworkers who were into it, and they talked about drinking.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you get there, you get the all-inclusive thing, and you just get blackout drunk every day. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Even when I was drinking, I don't want to do that. But now the idea of enforced nothing is very appealing to me.
And with, like, decent food at all times.
Yeah. Free flow food, free food, free flow beverages, naps whenever you like, maybe a pool or hot tub or something.
Honest to God, just not having to worry about meals.
Yeah.
Do you remember that point when you're like 25 or whatever, or probably younger for you because you didn't go to college? Or at the time, right out of high school, I should say. I didn't mean to. Obviously, you went to college. But where you just realized you were going to have to figure out meals three times a day for the rest of your fucking life?
100%.
Sucks so much, dude.
Yeah, moved out when I was 18 or 19, and was like, this will be fine. I'm just going to eat cereal and sandwiches. And then realized, like, oh, you don't want that.
Oh, no, I got the scurvy. Really,
yeah, trying to figure out what to do with that without eating, like, takeout and stuff all the time. And then figuring out how to make anything. I remember asking my mom what to cook, and she said to make chicken breast and an onion and put Italian salad dressing in it.
That's too bad.
The end.
Yeah.
And eating that a bunch of times because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't eat a side until I was like 30.
Yeah. It's a lot of extra work to make a side.
Everything was a one pot meal for most of my life.
And even now,
my favorite. Yeah.
Of like all the fights I've had with my wife over the entire course of our relationship, 60% are somewhere rooted in, what's dinner gonna be?
It's difficult. They should make somebody who just makes the decision. Like, they're not a personal chef. They're just a personal, like, here's the meal plan.
Yeah. Is that what life coach is?
I think so. I think it's mostly about doing that. Then we should become them, because we could do that.
I could do that for you, man, if you wanted.
Can we do it for each other for a year?
Yeah. Well, it won't be a year because, spoiler alert, big cup of poison.
Yeah. And I get divorced probably on accident.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Liv would go along with that.
No. Well, Liv doesn't have to eat the big cup of poison, but you do.
Yeah, but I'm not washing two plates.
She gets
I'm not
washing two dishes. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a lot of extra.
Like, yeah. I gotta be efficient here. Yeah. What'd you have for dinner last night?
Big cup of poison.
Yeah. How's it working?
Really, you know what it actually was leftover lunch, which was Panda Express.
Okay, nothing wrong with it. Panda Express, you do get two meals out of.
Yeah.
And Panda give you a vegetable. I don't mind a panda.
What you getting at the Panda Express, Gary?
I'm a Beijing beef boy.
Interesting. I don't like beef unless it's in a burger or a steak. I don't like beef as like a thing mixed into a meal. It tends to be too tough.
Like a freestanding beef?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, so when you say a burger, what about like a chili, like a ground beef?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can eat a chili.
That's fine. Yeah. I do a Beijing beef. I do a mix of the noodles and vegetables.
We all do.
As the side.
How could you not?
You
do vegetables. And then I do, I'm sorry, I'm doing rice and noodles.
Mix. No. I do noodles and vegetables. And then I do Beijing beef, which is like the treat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do like green bean chicken or something with a vegetable in it.
You're eating a shockingly healthy Panda Express order.
Panda for us is the fast food when we want to eat a vegetable.
Okay.
Like, that's when we usually eat there.
All right.
So it's like, yeah. What's your order?
Honey, walnut, shrimp, and orange chicken.
Okay. Yeah. That, you know what? That's basically Liv's order.
In many ways, I could be your wife.
Well, God willing.
We're getting there, man. I think we'll figure it out.
Yeah. We just had to start fighting about dinner. No, you can't upcharge the honey walnut shrimp. It's too expensive.
That's like an extra fucking dollar.
I know, but that's a dollar that we could use on rent. It's $1.50 for one. And it's basically the same thing as orange chicken. Why don't you want some variety?
You own your fucking house. Why are you making me pay rent?
Because I have to pay a mortgage. Okay. I'm in the real world.
Well, who made that decision?
Huh? We did together.
Okay, I forgot what the... Am I Liv in this scenario, or am I Will as Liv? Give me a couple fucking rules. Don't you take out the toilets.
In
classic
scenario,
lazy improv move, remove all toilets from reality.
Yeah, I know. Because then you can't bash your head in.
Yeah.
Or drown yourself in it. In this scenario, you're you. Aww. But you've had the history of me and Liv.
Okay, great. Boy, what a bad day that was for you when the transformation happened.
It was rough. It happened mid-coitus as well.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, you know? you got
make
the anomaly. It anomalies into me.
Yeah, Liv is just a middle-aged man now.
I'm really thinking about the idea of you stuck in a world where I'm all the other people.
It's a real, like, a reverse John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Hughes. Boy.
Undertale!
Let's not do that. Let's not have you switch into Liv.
Who wants to talk about Dungeon Crawler Carl?
Have you finished
Everyone
that book
does.
Yet?
I finished them all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew that you were under like a goblin's curse with them. You were under a narrative geese.
They're great for reading on planes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of it and none of it matters very much.
Is it still going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to give up that cash cow.
It's a big milk-filled cow.
Yeah, that is a one big juicy cow tit of money.
Gary, you got to understand, it's like in a video game universe, but here's the thing. He doesn't get shoes because the AI controlling the universe has a foot fetish and likes it when he squishes things.
Is that really true?
Yeah, that's a major plot point.
Oh. I just kind of thought it was generic isekai, but I didn't realize that there was like a foot arm.
It's lit RPG is what the genre is specifically called, where it's like books that take place in universes with video game rules.
Okay. Like a game book you don't play.
Kind of, yeah. Like he gets achievements all the time. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of them are for stepping on things.
Okay. Like, I really thought that book was too normie-coded to have a foot fetish thing.
No, man, I would not describe it as normie-coded.
I was wrong about it, huh?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, there's a situation later in the books where the AI inhabits a character and then manipulates the situation so that Carl has to let the character give him a foot massage.
That's fascinating. Is Carl into it? Is
no,
it consensual?
No, it's unconsensual. It is presented as deeply unpleasant for him.
Wow.
But if he doesn't participate in it, the AI will flood him and his friends with monsters for him to step on.
So it's coercion.
Yes.
He's being forced to participate in the computer's sex fetish.
Yeah, no, this is a plot point from the Dungeon Crawler Carl book series. Yeah.
Huh. That's genuinely shocking to me.
It's played for some laughs, but not all laughs.
I'm like mentally going through my Rolodex of everyone I know who has read that.
Uh-huh. Who hasn't told you this?
Foot fetish shit. Who didn't tell me this. Big failure on their part. But two, like, oh, they're like reading this kind of foot fetish thing. I know it's not meant to be titillating, but like, I don't know, non-consensual foot stuff. They're selling the flies, Peggy.
It's a joke in the first book, but it's one of those series where as it goes on, you take all the jokes a little more seriously.
Yeah.
So
he laundered it into you, like not into you, into the reader.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, this is, wouldn't this be funny? Unless. And then made millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of words about it.
It has to be so much money.
That's crazy.
Sometimes when he steps on a thing, the dungeon shakes orgasmically.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Genuine surprise.
Yeah.
That is the most shocking thing I've heard all day.
Spoilers for book 4 of Dungeon Crawler Carl. Sorry.
the dungeon finally comes.
Yeah.
In case you were waiting for that. Like, Dungeon Edger Carl. Fuck. He goes in with his friends. He has a party.
He has his cat.
Okay.
Who becomes sentient when he goes, when she goes into the dungeon.
Does the dungeon sex monster have any interest in the cat?
No. The dungeon sexuality is pretty focused on Carl's feet.
Okay. Do they ever describe the feet? Are they good feet?
So now they're magical. because the dungeon keeps giving him things that buff them.
Okay.
Because the AI controls what loot he gets, so it never gives him shoes, but it gives him lots of toe rings. And things that make them so they're basically invulnerable. There's not a lot of, like, visual description. I think they're just feet.
Okay. If you... I know you're not making this up.
Yeah.
If you were, this would be genius. Because this sounds so fucking weird to have as just the book that's in the front of Powell's, like...
Yeah.
Taylor's Choice.
Yep.
You know? John recommends. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh. Are they funny at all?
I've laughed once or twice. They have lots of jokes in them.
Okay. No, I know exactly what that means. That's basically what I was guessing, was they definitely have lots of jokes.
Yeah.
But whether any of them worked.
Well, I gotta say, and maybe they hate women. I don't know, man.
They love feet.
There's a lot of, like, there's some good female characters in it, but if he can't think of anything else to do, sometimes he just kind of invents a woman who sucks.
Okay.
Like, one of the first plot points is that the guy found out that his girlfriend was cheating on him.
Of course.
And, like, you have your, like, people have their feelings about infidelity, but I do think that treating it like the worst thing in the world and, like, any woman who does it is instantly garbage forever has a lot of shit built into it.
Yeah.
And is kind of immature, I think, towards relationships and, like,
yeah,
romance. So, and just, like, that is kind of a default mode that it operates in for a long time. And for a long while, I was like, does this book hate women a little bit?
The guy who wrote it probably just hates a very specific woman who wouldn't look at his feet.
Yeah. His beautiful,
yeah,
glorious, like, little man talents.
It is one of the, like, easiest to diagnose authors of all time, it feels like. Just from secondhand. Like, oh, this is all coming out. Everything this guy likes. That's one of those books that started, like those Andy Weir books, right? It started as, like,
I think, I believe that is the original origin of them. He was at the very least self-published. I think he was not doing them serial. He was doing them, like, self-published on, like, Gumroad or whatever. Okay.
Gotcha.
And then they took off and are now basically started this whole, or at least codified this whole lit RPG genre.
This fills me with disgust in a way. Like, it's fascinating, yeah, but it also fills me with disgust.
I do like reading all of his achievements he gets after a big boss fight.
Yeah. Does he get presented them, or does he just say them? Like, how are they diegetically presented to him?
He has a HUD built into his brain from being in the dungeon.
Okay.
And they pop up as notifications, but he ignores them during the fights because they're life or death fights. And then part of the rhythm of it is then he goes to a safe room and reads all of his achievements and gets his loot boxes.
When he goes to sleep, does the HUD stay on?
He doesn't sleep anymore because he's got a special bed that just rests him automatically. But I think yes, technically.
Yeah. All right. Good to know.
Yeah. No, I've read in the last 3 months, I've read 5,000 pages of this shit.
I would never shame you for reading something that's light.
You can shame.
You know, I understand, like, this just goes by quick.
You can shame. It's fun to shame people. You can do it a little bit if you want.
Nah, I mean, I read comics and stuff. That's a big reason why I read comics. I wouldn't shame you for something I do.
Oh,
it can be fun.
That's
to shame,
so different.
But I need moral superiority to do it. Yeah.
My favorite things to shame you for are things I do.
No, I know, but you don't mind hypocrisy.
No, that's just human nature. People are built to be hypocrites. Yeah. Having to maintain a single perspective and, like, moral stance throughout life is alien and evil.
I agree with that, but I just think I don't wallow in it.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you gotta wallow a little bit, Gary.
I prefer to wallow in pussy. If you like the show, what should they do?
I don't know. This one, yeah, from the Velvet Undergrad. Great show. Great show, and that's a 5-star review, 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 and that's a 5-star review.
that it? It's
usually you thank people for their reviews, Gary. Jesus.
No, I didn't know whether you were done yet. I thought maybe you were doing a little like joke.
Ingratitude.
A little, like, long fuse.
Ingratitude.
No, I appreciate that. 5 stars. Also, Velvet Undergrad, great name.
Yeah, that is a good name.
You call it out every time. Yeah. It's the guppy equivalent of videogames.afghanistan.
That is good.
Which is the name we always call it off.
Gary, I think we had a good episode today. This is the first guppy of 2026, with many more to come.
And the first time we recorded in quite a while. It was fun.
Yeah.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
Yeah. Looking forward to much more Will Hughes in 2026.
Yeah. We're going to record it pretty soon. Watch out for fireballs on The Binding of Isaac, an actual intelligent conversation about this video game. I was thinking about this, Gary, and I might end up saying this on the WAF.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to Guppy is the most intelligent discourse that has ever been done about this video game. I am confident in that statement. The largest volume of intelligent discourse, like the only, maybe if you took everything Northern Lion said about it over like 8 million streams or whatever, you might have some competition. But in terms of actual intelligent analysis of this video game, this is the most. The problem is it's only like a fifth of the show.
A small percentage.
Of the show.
Yeah, by volume. Yeah, I would agree. This is a game that is not only super important generally, but super important to us, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Or not just us, but important generally. Like, it's a huge game. Easily, you know, one of my all-time favorite games I forget about because it's become something more than a game.
Yeah.
You know, massively. Kind of background thing.
Like, completely shaped huge parts of the gaming landscape for the decade plus since it came out.
And is never talked about. Like, see a Waypoint person write about this. They're never going to do it. Yeah, you're right.
It's just, unfortunately, all of that is buried underneath us.
Well, that's why we're gonna surface it.
We're going to cut out that the WAF will have no jokes.
I bet you'll have some jokes.
We'll see.
They have to be subtle. When you make a joke, say, would Kay make this joke?
Yeah. Would Kay have said Dwarfins?
No, not in a million years.
Would she have instead mentioned? Sorry, can I have an intrusive thought real fast and then we'll end the episode? I have been thinking nonstop about that bit from All-Star Batman where they beat the shit out of Green Lantern in a yellow room and then he offers him lemonade.
I like that quite a bit.
It's pretty good. No ghost?
Pretty good. No ghost.
Far, near, this file that you did hear was not everything to Gen Gear.